Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for January the 19th. In the year of our Lord, 2022, this is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers is one of the great peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips today. Welcome to the broadcast. Is it already the 20th? Wow. All right. I'm out in the weeds, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much, man. That's why we have people watching every move I make to make sure that I do it right. It is the broadcast for January 20th in the year of our Lord, 2022. Not the 19th at all. Thank you so much. Good point. All right. A quick recap of yesterday's the 19th broadcast. Before we get to the real broadcast of today, the 20th, we had our guest on, Mr. James Edwards, talking about race, politics, and hypocrisy in 21st century America, thepoliticalcesspool.org. He's also the author of a book called Racism, Schmacism, doing a great job. He was with me both hours, and we broke down all kinds of topics, such as, please, people, do not forget. Stuart Rhodes is innocent until proven guilty, okay? Remember that reality check, will you please? Was Stuart Rhodes ready for a civil war? Probably so. We all should be, because frankly, we're half in the middle of one. Is the U.S. headed for another civil war? We pray not. Sadly, we predict yes. Imagine another American civil war, but this time in every state writes national public radio. Whoa. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Ammon Bundy, what are we to do? Talking about the fact that there's no redress of grievance anymore. Your First Amendment is absolutely sliced and diced and slaughtered these days, huh? Yes, indeed. DeSantis will not bend the knee to Donald Trump. It's Ron versus Don. Yeah, Ron DeSantis says backing Trump for the 2024 elections, too much to ask after Donald Trump trashed Ron DeSantis. Trump attacked him for being dull and having no charisma. Is this a real rift between the two leaders and a problem in the Republican Party? Or is this a mountain made out of a molehill by the media? Time will tell, ladies and gentlemen. There seems to be divisions in our society everywhere, I'll tell you that, and that's what's driving this push towards some kind of a civil war, some kind of a secessionary movement, some kind of a breakup. The war on Christianity is really one of the keys, too, when you think about it, ladies and gentlemen. That's in thenewamerican.com, doing a great job, and that was hour one. Hour two, we start with what would a modern-day secession for the United States really look like? Would it be the general government against the states? If certain states left, which states would stay with the general government? Or would the general government be jettisoned and you'd have two, quote, state group countries without a general government? Five Oregon counties, for example, back a plan to secede from Oregon and join Idaho. So if different counties join different states, that shakeup, is that a secession? Not exactly. 52% of Trump voters want red states to secede from the Union. MSN.com. See, these are mainstream news people talking about this, folks. Red states want to succeed or want to secede? Go ahead, make our day, writes HuffPost.com. Can a city declare itself a republic? California town, Oroville, California. The city council overwhelmingly voted to turn their city into a republic. So you want a national divorce, you say, huh? Will it remain civil is the question. Some say maybe it's time for America to split up. Who owns the U.S. national debt? Who would keep the Federal Reserve? The Great Reset is coming, writes Glenn Beck and others, right? So I don't know where this all is leading, ladies and gentlemen. I know that we're candid enough on your radio to openly discuss this. That does not mean we're advocating for it. I stand 1,000%, a gazillion percent against a con. I'm not a secessionist. I believe that the flag will be blown in the breeze when the Savior Jesus Christ returns. And I believe that's not only biblical, but I believe it's in the vision George Washington had for the country. And I know that the Secretary of Agriculture, Ezra Taft Benson, wrote a book called This Nation Shall Endure. And I believe in that reality. So I'm not preaching doom and gloom for America. I know we got a lot of troubles. I get it. But I'm not preaching that. I'm preaching that it's the greatest country on the face of the earth. The way back or the way to salvation and stability is to return to God Almighty. When we turn our back on him, consequences are devastating. When we keep the commandments of God and turn to him for healing and help, that's when solutions, that's when answers to prayers start to come. That's when blessings from the author of our liberty start to be realized. So I know that America's got a lot of troubles. I get it. And I'm not afraid to discuss those difficulties. But I'm also not the guy to wallow in it. I'm also not the guy to promote it. I want to be the guy that follows the Prince of Peace. I want to bring about peace and prosperity and stability and hope and safety and prosperity. And I want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that looks at America and says, God put this nation on the earth for a reason. And we can be a light on a hill to all nations around the world, but it's going to take a lot of returning to the principles that made America great. As Dr. Scott Bradley wisely encourages, let's preserve the nation. Pure application of the principles that made America great can absolutely do it again. I'm that kind of guy. And I know that others are thinking, might as well just break up now. There's no point trying to work with these liberals. There's no point trying to peacefully restore what we once had. We're too far down the road of secession, of civil war, of national divorce, of whatever. I'm not a guy that's going to believe that. Now, that may end up eventually happening. I understand all that. But I'm going to go down as the last guy standing, trying to peacefully resolve this thing, trying to look forward in a way that's meaningful, a way that's civil, a way that unites people around the principles that make men free. That's what I'm going to be doing. And I know even James Edwards and others are saying, hey, it's time that we just live separately if we can't get along. I understand that view. I also understand George Washington's vision, and that's what I hang my hat on. All right, that's a recap of yesterday's show. That was the 19th. Today is the 20th. We are live. Hard-hitting news that Edwards reviews to you starts now. Our good brother in Liberty, Eldon Stahl, field coordinator for the John Birch Society, JBS.org, with us. TheNewAmerican.com, pointing to their magazine as well. Incredible news from their magazine, The New American. Eldon, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Hey, Sam. Great to be back.
Thank you. Do you have a comment on kind of the discussion yesterday, my takeaway?
Well, we've got a number of different problems. You mentioned, possible civil war. One thing to consider is that back in the Civil War era, the states had active militias. Today, we generally don't. So there's a question of if we actually did have a civil war, who would be fighting? How would they be organized? Probably would be different than back then. Certainly, the federal government would have its army.
No question. Would it be National Guards? Would it be state militias? Would it be local, county by county? You're right. And I mentioned that, yesterday, too, is that there's one thing to talk about this. It sounds romantic. It sounds great. But you know what? War is devastating. War becomes real in a hurry. And it ain't fun. And most wars go bad for everybody involved and everything else. And so, I brought up states like Utah and others being flat out landlocked. And if you have the liberals controlling the West Coast and the East Coast primarily or whatever else, how are you going to trade? It doesn't look very pretty is all I tell you. It's one thing to be romanticized by this idea. It's another thing to dig in and discuss the reality. Do we create our own currencies? How do we deal with being landlocked? Again, as you wisely point out, who are we going to fight with? Or, what groups, what organization? Is it going to be by county, by state? What does it look like? It doesn't sound or feel romantic to me at all. In fact, it seems like disaster for the greatest country on the face of the earth. I pray we can find a better way, Eldon.
Yes, me too. I certainly would not want anything like that to befall us because it would be all the death and suffering that would occur would be just massive. Different countries, foreign countries would try to probably weigh in on the conflict and try to get something in their favor. That would not be good. So there's just all kinds of reasons why, that that would be a bad option.
I mentioned that, you know, travel right now, even with the airlines and flights getting canceled, is already a problem. But just imagine if different states don't recognize members from other states. That would create disaster, too. I mean, you might have different countries that own some of our national debt vie for portions of the United States, et cetera. I mean, no matter what, it just doesn't look pretty. I just don't see any real advantage to it. I don't see any real way forward with that kind of a scenario. Divide and conquer. I don't think that makes sense for the greatest country on the face of the earth. We got to find a way to set aside some differences, real or imagined. And we got to find a way to return to the principles that really made the greatest country on the face of the earth with the greatest economic engine ever known to man. We got to return to what will make that happen again. In my opinion, that's the only real way forward that we should be advocating for at this point. And that's why I even reject a con. You know, who's going to be in charge of that meeting? You know, the likes of Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, you know, Harry Reid. I know he's not alive anymore, but I'm just saying those kind of people, Mitt Romney, you know, the likelihood of you and I being involved in that is are about zero. So I'm not even looking forward to that because it's just disaster on steroids is what it is.
Oh, yeah, that would be just I mean, I always ask people, well, where are we going to find these great constitutionalists that would be part of this convention that are going to somehow restore the republic? They're not. They're not in power now. They're not going to be in power then.
Amen to that. If you think that's the way forward, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say this to you. Tisn't so. All right. Eldon Stahl with me, man. John Burt Society, Sam Bushman, and Brian Rust. Honest money discussion coming up. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable live.
The CDC just reported that 7,218 people died after receiving a COVID-19 shot. Granted, vaccines are a complicated concoction of chemicals, and as with any medical experiment, it can take a long time to get it right. This is not the first time people have been hurt when vaccinated. What is different this time, and so concerning, is the reaction to these death numbers. Let me explain. In 1976, the government vaccinated 45 million people for swine flu. A total of 53 people died after getting that shot, and the U.S. government immediately halted the vaccination program. Why? Because authorities decided it was too much of a risk. Why would they halt the program back then for 53 deaths, but now, with over 7,000 deaths, they are using every method possible to force it on you? In fact, now the health authorities are using their power to silence anyone who dares to question the COVID vaccination. Why? Why is anyone that questions COVID silenced? Even doctors are being censored. What's up with that?
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Eldon Stahl on your radio, where you're talking about secession, a national divorce, the union breaking up, going their own way, red versus blue, whatever you want to call it, feds versus states. You know, so many fault lines are found in America today. The mainstream press talking about another civil war and the likelihood thereof, and, you know, we pray it never happens. Those of you who think a con is the answer, you've been conned. Those of you who think a con's the answer, I'm going to answer two ways. To you linguists out there, tisn't so. To you rednecks out there, it ain't true. You got to stand for what makes America great, ladies and gentlemen. And together we stand, divided we fall. Remember that reality check, will you please? Without further ado, we'd like to welcome Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com, to the mix. His family, for over 50 years, has been helping people understand precious metals and add constitutional currency to their portfolios and more. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you very much, Sam. Glad to be back.
All right, let's talk honest money first. Where's gold sitting, sir?
Gold, the paper contract today is at 1847.20.
1847, you said?
Yep.
20.
Yep, all up right, about 24.5 dollar climb from
1847.20, ladies and gentlemen, up just a bit. Silver?
24.45.
24.45, that's up a bit too, isn't it?
$1.20.
That's not too much. How about rhodium? Where's Kirk Crosby's financial wealth sitting, sir?
Well, rhodium jumped from last week to 17,650, so it's up about 500.
Oh, man. So Kurt's doing all right, isn't he?
Well, he's a lot happier when it was dropping, I guess.
1847.20 is gold, ladies and gentlemen. 24.45 silver. So, Brian, where's it looking in the real world? Those are spot prices, but they're all manipulated by paper as well, as you know. Where are we sitting in reality if I want real money?
So your rounds right now are running about 29. Let's see. What are they? I think they were like 29 yesterday. Your Eagles were jumped back up to about 36.
Ouch. Woo.
So, yeah, they're kind of.
That's quite a bit above the rounds, too. That's a lot of difference.
Yeah, that premium on Eagles, government Eagles right now, they've just hit.
Why do you think the premium's so much on the Eagles? Is it because there's not enough of them? Is it because they're pretty? Is it because it's backed by the United States? That con factor, that confidence factor? What do you think, Brian? All right.
Oh.
Are you there, Brian?
Put the price right, on that product, and here's kind of where they want to hold it. And if you want
to
buy
product.
You
cut out for a second, Brian. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, so the government basically, they establish the price that they want on the product. And so, your major wholesalers, I have one major wholesaler say, I'm not paying that premium, and so they're not handling the product, but the others are, and this is if you want a monster box, a strap monster box, and they're saying, okay, here's your percentage that you're going to have to pay, and so that's basically the price. So
did you say that they set the price or they manipulate the price that they want? What were you saying?
Well, either way, I mean, yeah, they're establishing the price that they want to sell product. Yep. Yep. They don't buy anything back either. They want their percentages and be off with it.
Yeah, I bring that up, ladies and gentlemen, because that's interesting in and of itself, separate from even the fiat money system. They literally set the price of their own gold creation. Constitutionally, they weren't really supposed to do that, were they?
That's right. I mean, it used to be kind of a, supply demand should drive that price. And so realistically, you're seeing a switch. A lot of people are starting to buy your silver maple leaves, Canadian maple leaves, or Austria Philharmonics, or just, don't want to pay that premium. So they will buy other countries' metal. And, they seem to sell a lot, though. The Eagle is fairly popular. And so it stays. People are still buying it. I think a lot of people just too, they say there are people that say, okay, well, I want to stay with U.S. funding. If I've got to trade it and so on, I want it to be an actual coin, a dollar, like an old silver dollar or something like that. So they're buying that product. And so there's still a lot to be said. And, and some factors, some factors are the fact that people say, okay, well, this ought to be at $50 today, and I can prove and show you parameters and why it should and so on. So, okay, if I'm paying 35 or 36 or 37, okay, I still feel it's undervalued. So that's the other factor, I guess.
Yes, indeed. And the other factor, too, is you kind of wonder if they set the price of that, and that becomes kind of the, pardon the pun, the gold standard in silver, if that makes any sense, then you kind of wonder
right.
Others follow, right, too, to some degree,
yeah.
Even though it might not manipulate them to that degree because it's the premium. The others follow to some degree, though. So even in the metals, they're kind of setting the reality, even after the paper manipulations, even separate from the fiat currency, et cetera, right?
Yeah. You're seeing that, trying to control the factors thereof, no doubt about it. They want the control.
And, you want to chime in on this, Eldon?
Boy, they get involved in all kinds of things, don't they? They're just trying to control.
It never ends. You're right about that, Brian. You were saying?
Well, it's an interesting. Every time the government seems to jump in there and say, we're going to save this, save that, it's a disaster. I mean, we can go back and look at a ton of things that they've. Here, let me get our hands in on this, or let me get our hands on. We'll help you. We'll take care of you. In 99% of the cases, it's not a good thing. We want less of the government because of all the factors that they're getting into. And I guess you were talking earlier about civil war and so on. You're elitist, which that is your government. The elitist, they take you to war. I mean, if you go back in history, so
yeah, we're from the government. We're here to help.
Here we are.
That's right.
I heard that. You know, this is so interesting in our society right now, especially when people are just concerned about everything and inflation and everything else. As inflation happens, Brian, does it drive people naturally to gold and silver? I know that I always watch the elite because it's interesting to see what they do. But oftentimes what they do is they quietly just start grabbing more gold and silver and stabilizing their portfolio. They don't say much to the mere mortals like us, but yet that's what they do, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, you go back, all these finances, JP, Goldman, all of the, you know, the fines that the government, you know, implements is just, as we talked about in the past, it's just mere doing business. This is the mere doing business, my $800 million that I've got to pay the government. But, I guess I did make $5 or $6 billion. I guess it's so that's part of doing business. But on the same sense, the physical guys now are kind of ganging, you know, getting together and saying, yeah, we're done playing that game with them. And that's kind of why the metals are holding stronger than what we see on paper, because they're saying, yeah, we're not playing the game, because what they do is they suppress our market on paper. You know, the spoofing and all the other things that happens, it drives that market down. And then they come in and want to buy our physical. And so they're buying physical, or, you know, trying to play that. But the physical guys say, well, great, come and buy it. But you're going to pay just what everybody else is going to pay. We're not playing your game. Supply demand ought to be driving it, and not whatever you feel should be the price at this time, so that you can come in and buy at this low price and then, yeah, kind of hit the market. So on the physical. So, yeah, we're done. That's what they're saying.
What do you say, Eldon?
Well, they sure do. Yeah, they try to manipulate things, and you know, some we don't know the wiser a lot of times what's going on.
And you kind of wonder. Go ahead, Ryan.
Sorry, one of the things too. You look at all these play on the financial market. You know, why would there be inside trading, and that's okay for Congress and the House and again all our elitists. The inside trading. So that they can make more money, not just the way they should be, but the common man or the middle, you know, us depressed Americans, as they want to say or show us. But we don't have inside trading. We can't play that game. And if we do, that's illegal. We're going to go to jail, you can trade these paper markets, and you can inside trade, and you can spoof this market, and you can, and we'll throw a guy under the bus. We'll have an account for him for 500 million, $5 million we'll put away for him, because he's going to spend time for us, because we're not going to jail, but maybe one of my little employees, the fall. I mean, you see these, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
And it makes you wonder, the only reason they could have to want to manipulate these markets too, the only reason I think of is so that people don't develop a desire for real money. Because if people realize that gold and silver really stable as a rock. I'll give you a quick example when we get back. Also, I got to say RIP, rest in peace to my good brother, Cullen Flaherty. I'll talk about him in a second. We'll talk about the dime in a second. We'll do it all with Brian Rust and Eldon Stahl. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Supreme Court on Wednesday rejected President Trump's executive privilege and will now send his administration's records to the mostly partisan January 6th committee. Democrat Senator Zoe Lofgren from California on MSNBC.
We'll be getting the visitors' logs, the call logs, the outtakes from the videos that he made as people were trying to talk him into asking the mob to leave the Capitol. And it will help us put together the picture of what happened leading up to the riot and on the day of the riot.
Senate Republicans blocked President Biden's self-proclaimed and partisan voting rights legislation Wednesday night. Two Democrat senators, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, joined the GOP in opposing changes to the 60-vote filibuster rule. The vote failed by a 52-48 count. USA Radio News.
Get to Kohl's to save on beauty, essentials, and home. Take 20% off all beauty and fragrance during our Love Your Look beauty event. Pick up Nike hoodies for the family starting at $19.99. Save 50% on Carter's for baby. And Sonoma Goods for Life bath towels are only $8.99. Plus, take an extra 20% off when you spend $100 or more. And get Kohl's cash this weekend at Kohl's. Select styles. Offer valid September 20th through 23rd with promo code SAVING. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA president, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians or public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
Because technology will allow it, NBC broadcasters will not be going to China to call the 2022 Winter Olympics.
NBC Sports confirmed Wednesday it will not send announcers to the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing because of a surge in the COVID-19 Omicron variant in China. USA Today reported the announced teams will call events from the NBC facility in Connecticut. One NBC host will travel to Beijing to cover the first few days of the games before heading to Los Angeles to cover the Super Bowl. Although Team USA will participate in the games this year, U.S. officials will not attend. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
Workers on Wednesday dismantled a giant statue of President Theodore Roosevelt from outside New York City's American Museum of Natural History. The equestrian statue of Theodore Roosevelt, commissioned in 1925 and unveiled to the public in 1940, the New York City Public Design Commission voted last June to remove it. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com with us. Eldon Stahl, field coordinator for the John Birch Society, JBS.org, TheNewAmerican.com with us. We're talking about honest money, ladies and gentlemen. We'll return to that topic in just a quick second. I got to do a big shout-out to my buddy Colin Flaherty. Rest in peace, my faithful brother. He was a very successful podcaster, live streamer, an author, not to mention a great friend of Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. He's passed away. Our prayers are with him and his family. Colin Flaherty died Tuesday, January the 11th, with family at his side in the home he grew up in. Pretty cool. In Wilmington, Delaware. He was 66 years old and suffered from cancer. Probably best known for his two books, White Girl Bleed a Lot, and Don't Make the Black Kids Angry. He was a real reporter, ladies and gentlemen. And he would dig into issues about race and do so candidly. He was the guy that wrote for WorldNet Daily for a long time, WND.com. And he really highlighted the reality that to not report on racial crime is racist. See, if a white person does something bad to a black person, then it's everywhere in the news. But if a black person does something to a white person, it's always covered up and there's never a racial component. He's suggesting that's a lie and that's racist. Look, his point was a crime is a crime is a crime. Got it? Good. Now, when crimes are committed, they're evil and wrong. And we need to report on them equally. And to not do so is racist. Anyway, Colin Flaherty's absolutely spot on that. Incredible books. The term white girl bleed a lot, just so you understand where it came from. There was a video of some blacks beating up a white girl. And the white girl was bleeding profusely. And a black girl says, white girl bleed a lot, right in the video. Like, so that he named his book after that to highlight the disparity and the dishonesty of the reporting and lack thereof, if you will, regarding this. Anyway, our prayers are with his family. Colin Flaherty, rest in peace, my dear brother. He was a friend. He was a good guy. Anyway, I digress. But back to the broadcast, back to Eldon Stahl and Brian Rust. So I was mentioning the only reason I think people could seriously want to manipulate gold and silver is because if they suppress it, if they manipulate it, then you don't believe it's a real factor in your life. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, it jettisons the inflation and the stagflation that we see so prevalent in our current system of fiat money. Okay, it upends that. It provides stability in a marketplace. They don't want that stability because the more that stability reigns supreme, the less manipulative control they have. It's about control. So the example that I would give is a dime in 1960, just say 1964. You want to know how much a dime was worth in 1964, Eldon?
How much?
A dime. Seems redneck simple, doesn't it? Hey.
That is amazing.
Okay, a dime was worth a dime. How much is a real silver dime worth today, Brian?
You can buy silver dimes for around $2.50.
So 25 times what it used to cost?
Yeah.
Ooh, wow. Man, that ain't looking good for the modern dime now, is it there, Eldon?
No, not so much.
Wow. So that just kind of highlights the reality of what I'm pointing to, Brian.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the money, is there inflation? Absolutely. And the issue, and some of the issues that we're going to see is, and I've seen, I think they're talking, some of the news I hear out there right now is investors in the market are starting to pull out. They're starting to pull out because they're seeing some of the changes that are happening. And, all these central banks, so, you know, across the world, the raising interests and so on and doing this and wanting the feds to do the same thing. They're starting to pull out. So we're starting, okay, well, where's this money going to go? You know, these people have made X amount of money in the market, and now they're changing some of the factors that are going to go, and we're seeing some of the changes, and that could really push the metals because where are they going to put their money? So, you know. So we could see some things happening. I'm reading, you know, if some of that stuff is starting to take place. So, and inflation, if it goes from 7%, they say, or whatever, to 14, we're probably at 14 already going to 20. But with COVID and some of these variants and all these other things happening, shortages and so on, well, I would have to think that inflation is going to continue to climb. So.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there is a big feud going on that I want to tell you about. Article in the New York Times business section, just so you know where it comes from. Ready? They call it this. Division on crypto. On view, in feud, of tech billionaires. I think about that and I'm just thinking, what is there to feud about, man? It's the freedom currency, guys. It's the blessing currency of all. It's going to save us from government tyranny. And it's all. But there's a big battle. A dispute over what they call Web3. Is the term here. Very complicated, but Web3 is kind of the future of the internet. They want to move everything to blockchain technology, and there's a feud on exactly how those nebulous terms ought to go down. And the battle's on. It's not as simple as it sounds, they say. It's a very complicated issue. And they say, here's what it's all about. You don't own Web3. You got it? Others do. And so anyway, Jack Dorsey at Twitter and anyway, all these big cryptocurrency guys are battling out what's W3 going to look like, or Web3, what's it going to look like is the big question. I guess members of the Silicon Valley elite class are battling it out now. They say the technical revolution. Well, the hard lines are being drawn. So you got on one side Elon Musk, and then you got Mark Andreessen as his enemy there. And the Web3 revolution backers say promises a democratization of commerce. I'm not looking forward to a democratization of commerce. And information, they say, by building a better blockchain's network distribution system that form the basis of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. It theoretically would cut out traditional middlemen and gatekeepers. It'll never escape their incentives. It goes on and on and on. Do you want to respond to this, Brian?
I don't know what to say. Yeah. So they're trying to position themselves, I guess, fighting against themselves, position themselves to be kind of a front runner in that mobile market. And so the elitist, is that what you see? The elite in Silicon Valley are trying to position themselves to, you know, I don't know. Maybe some of these other countries that have jumped into the Bitcoin, maybe they should be watching them and just saying, okay, we're running our currency in, through the Bitcoin now, and see just how that works. But hey, they're smart people in Silicon Valley. So Elon Musk, yeah.
Well, here's what I find comical about the discussion. They say the Web3 revolution will be the democracy of commerce and information by building a better internet on blockchain networks. They say distributed ledger systems that form the basis of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, it theoretically, so it's not even a proven reality, it theoretically would cut out the traditional middlemen and gatekeepers, letting users transact directly and has a greater stake in the programs they use. But here's the problem. I was told that these digital currencies were already decentralized, cutting out the middleman, that they already were built on provable, stable blockchain technology, that the, quote, that's democratization right. of these commerce and information systems. I thought we were already on this incredible blockchain technology. That was the value and the big key. And Sam, you're ignorant if you don't understand this. And Sam would push back and say, no, it ain't the way it is. You guys, you're being deceived. And they go, you don't even understand tech, Sam. And now they're going, we got to build the Web3 because, man, we don't have the decentralization. We don't have the ability to directly deal with one another. We don't have the stable blockchain technology that would. So now they're trying to move to what they claim they already had, Brian. How dumb am I? I've been telling you this the whole time, buddy. Come on now. How redneck you got to awesome. Get to be high tech?
But Sam, you're one of these. I mean, that's why you understand it, really. You're one of the tech guys. Now, I'm not saying you're trying to create this thing, but you understand it. See, me, I don't. Maybe they need to do that. I'm just this small gold silver guy and coin guy, filthy lucre guy that I don't understand it. But Sam, yeah, you're hitting it now because
they highlight in the New York Times. Listen to this. Here's what they say. We need to explain this in a new language that few of us understand. Let's decipher the code. What is the problem, they say? Now listen to this. What is the problem? First, tech types can't define what Web3 means.
Right.
And so they're battling about it. It's not so easy to define. This one guy, his name is Sam Bankman. He's the billionaire, founder of the crypto exchange. They call it FTX, okay? He took a few unsuccessful stabs at explaining it to the paper and couldn't get it done. Yeah, they want to create a web-built tokenomics, just so you know. You know what a tokenomic is there, Eldon?
Awesome.
When we come back, we'll talk about tokenomics, ladies and gentlemen, so y'all can understand there. I'm just telling you right now, don't dip your toe in a crypto, because if you think it's real money, you're being deceived. Ask Brian Rust of RustCoinAndGift.com. He's got constitutional currency, gold and silver, available for you. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, man. We're going to run the world on tokenomics, dude. Going to be awesome. I'm telling you right now. That's what the billionaires say, but they battle on what even Web3 means. That's the internet built on blockchains and tokenomics and all these other terms you don't understand. But ladies, I'm just telling you right now that I think we got to create a marijuana currency, man. If we're going to do that, that would be called tokenomics, Brian. What do you think? We can just do real tokenomics, man.
Well, yeah, I think you hit something right there. Hey, I got to run here. I'm sorry, I've got to go, but I think you've hit it, Sam. There's no doubt about it. What you got?
Yeah, I ain't taking no hits of that stuff. I'm telling you right now. Brian Russ, thank you so much, sir. Godspeed, travel safe. We'll chat soon, brother.
All right. Thanks, man.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. RussQuentinGift.com. You want real, honest money? You got a friend of the coin business. I'm telling you right now. Brian Russ, RussQuentinGift.com. So what do you think, man? Is tokenomics built on blockchain and Web3 and all this stuff with the digital currencies, or is it just like marijuana currency, man? What do you think, Eldon? I think we ought to just go to marijuana currency, man.
I've never been one to jump on board with this type of stuff. I had people that said, "Oh, we got to do this," you know, get involved. Wasn't something that I felt was I could really trust. So,
hey, man, if we created real tokenomics and buds were currency, man, then money would grow on trees for reals, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you want that dream to come true?
It's funny how there's, or sad you might say, the lack of basic economic education is phenomenal, and we're, you know, even I went to BYU and they were teaching a lot of this Keynesian stuff there. It's just kind of disturbing.
Yeah, you know what, Eldon? The truth is, I laugh so I don't cry. And the reason that I kind of make fun of this is because, look, ladies and gentlemen, whether tokenomics is really weed currency or whether it's their general token currency that they create on the internet or whether it's fiat paper money, every road that isn't the true, honest, constitutional currency is a false road of eventual disappointment and deception. That's the real reason that I bring this up. I know I'm kind of making fun of it and everything, but I agree with Eldon. This is sad. This is serious. The lack of economic education in a reality sense, the dishonesty regarding economics, is just startling how pervasive it is. I mean, it's been taught in colleges, this dishonest reality of money and reality on supply chain and everything else has been going on for decades. And it is a tragedy, and it's going to be really hard. Even if we were to institute honest money tomorrow, most, quote, educated people would reject it because they've been dishonestly deceived for so long. That it's you got to unlearn before you can even learn the truth, Eldon.
That's right. Just like in what was it? Obi-Wan said you got to unlearn, or I don't know who it was. Maybe it was Yoda. But yeah, put your college economic books in the shredder, even though you paid $100+ for them. Get a copy of Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt. Read that. Read it twice, and you'll be a step above so many of these folks that have just read this nonsense they teach in schools nowadays.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. They say Web3 is coming to Utah, by the way. Yesterday and today, they are up at the... let's see, let me get this right here. They say in May and in October, Cryptopia will descend upon Salt Lake City. in a big way, transporting our city into a future utopia with his own currency, transportation, museums, and the like, building a whole new world. I'm not too excited about this, man.
Have you seen Salt Lake City lately?
Yeah, it's not a utopia on anywhere that I go around there.
You know, just saying.
It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't expect that place to become a utopia all of a sudden.
Think about that, though. Boy. I guess we're supposed to be kind of the head city for what's called Cryptopia, man.
Yeah, well, it seems like Utah's jumping on board with all kinds of idiotic stuff. They're bringing in this digital ID thing. Like, what on earth? Dumb. And then they're experimenting with voting by mobile device. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll work great.
Then what's funny about it is then they say, I hope you follow us down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're the leaders, and, you know, it seems like the people in Utah, you know, let me say the government leaders in Utah tend to think that, we've got to be, you know, embracing this newest stuff like it's this great idea. Let's do ranked choice voting or something, and, you know, this is a great idea, and we're just hip and happening, but it's just a disaster.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. This is very serious, serious indeed. The digital world that we're involved in, sadly, is just full. Just chuck full of scams and dishonesty. And I'm telling you, in May and October, Cryptopia will descend on Salt Lake City in a big way. They say we're creating a whole new world. Doesn't that scare the bejeebies out of you, ladies and gentlemen? It should. Next headline, QR code scans on the rise. Think twice before you scan, says this headline. And it's basically talking about how, you know, scammers now have figured out how they can go ahead and manipulate you into scanning a simple QR code that you think is going to take you to somewhere safe and good where you can go ahead and donate or do something else. And voila, they've taken your money and you've donated to the wrong source there, buddy. So be careful when you scan QR codes to make sure they're really legitimate. That's a big old latest scam going on, too. See, everything in the digital world, Eldon, can be fake, can be spoofed, can be mocked, can be manipulated, can be misdirected, whatever words you want to use. Every bit of it, and they know it. And those of you who tell you, oh, no, it can't be, Sam, I'm telling you, you don't know what you're talking about. Everything can be faked and manipulated. If they can create deep fake videos, ladies and gentlemen, that can literally take your clothes off and put you in compromising situations, they can fake anything. Folks, remember what I'm telling you in the digital world is true. Anyway, Eldon, what do you say to that?
Yeah, that's very true. They can, Photoshop just about anything, as we know. Of course, you can do all kinds of things with computers that, you know, they're instruments for good, but for also for evil. And the thing is, it's harder to trace that. So that's why, of course, we say, let's go back to paper ballots and, you know, counting those at the precinct, all that, you know, not have all this stuff that you can't verify, you can't audit, really. You can have this kind of illusion of a audit, but you can't really know.
Sad but true reality check, ladies and gentlemen. A couple of quick stories before the end of the hour that I thought were worthy of Eldon's comments as well. Earth's core is rapidly cooling. Study reveals. Question, is our planet becoming inactive? USA Today. So while they've been telling you for the last decade that global warming is your worst enemy, now they tell you that the Earth's core is cooling and our planet might become inactive. It might turn out like Mars over time. How long could the people live on the planet is the question that they have. But now they're saying Earth's core is cooling. So how do we have global warming everywhere with the core of the Earth cooling? Eldon, help me get it.
Well, all I know is, you know, we need to trust the government and pay them a bunch of taxes and just turn over our liberties and all this stuff will go away, right?
Wow. So, you know, when it comes to the jab, it's like they call it shot in the dark. because you don't know what the results are going to be. Now, this is like stab in the dark on the climate. They said the climate was cooling in the 70s. Now they say it's global warming now. Now they say the Earth's cooling. These scientists don't have a clue what they're talking about. This evidence in the USA Today article just released proves it. They say the Earth's core is cooling way more rapidly than they once thought. Is our planet becoming inactive, they ask. And my response is, ladies and gentlemen, just let God be in charge, okay? These scientists are absolutely clueless. These are the people that would literally kill people for saying the Earth wasn't flat back in the day, right? I mean, this is scientists are all over the map, folks.
Of course,
Eldon?
They didn't get a thermometer down there. The deepest borehole in the world goes halfway through the Earth's crust, and that's a very small part. So how did they measure the temperature? By ways that they theorize that that are accurate and perhaps to some degree, but how much, we don't know. There's a lot of factors they may not be aware of that give them a reading that they assume it's true, but who knows?
And what provable data do we have really to have a chart of temperatures to show direct cooling? And then how would that compare to what they thought they knew before? What was their model before that's now proven flawed? And how do we know the current model isn't proven flawed in 20 years, right? This is what I mean by they continually move to every time they admit something new, they realize that they didn't know something before, which proves their before science inaccurate, which tells me their current science is probably inaccurate too, because they have maybe more of an understanding. They might be going closer to the truth. They might be going further from the truth. Only time and God's real truth will tell. Final story of the hour, Belgium, the country, no longer recommending Moderna vaccines for those under 31 years old. Why? Due to risk of heart inflammation, just like we warned you, the experimental vaccines might have unknown side effects. Now they're realizing that, hey, if you're under 31, the heart damage that can be done is too great a risk. They're not recommending the vaccines in Belgium anymore. There you go. What do you say to that, Eldon?
Well, gee, you know, it really is nice that we found that out after we did this experiment on the whole planet. thank you, government.
Well, and this is thank what I mean by science. So now they're telling me the Earth is cooling, and by golly, the experimental shots that you were afraid of or concerned about because they were experimental turned out to be experimental, and the experiment went bad. That's what they're saying. And I look at that and I go,
right.
These are just two quick examples right at the end of the hour. And then they want us to trust in honest money and Web3 because they're going to save us and make sure everything's transparent and good. And right. What? Folks, they're wrong on every bit of it. You want to know why they're wrong on every bit of it? Because they're looking to their own arm and their own understanding, not to God. That's why. They're not holding to time-tested truths in reality. They're literally making it up as they go. Hey, vaccines are safe and effective. Well, in Belgium now, the Moderna vaccine, we're not going to give it to anybody under 31 because, hey, the risk is too great. We're not doing it anymore. My question is, when will the United States come to their senses on it? When do we shut down whacked out Psaki, whacked out Biden, whacked out Fauci and these? When do they get shut down? When are they going to realize even Belgium knows the truth and they're admitting it now? Do we have the guts to do that in our day, in our time? In our country? Sadly, I think the answer is not. Next hour, we're going to dig into a story that the New American has. It's called, her name is Dr. Meryl Nass. N-A-S-S. And Dr. Meryl Nass is forced to undergo a psych exam after losing her license because she, as a medical doctor, peddled COVID misinformation. We'll talk about it. Art Moore has the piece at WND.com. The New American has an incredible piece on this as well. We're going to dig into this and a whole lot more with Eldon Stahl, with the John Birch Society, JBS.org, TheNewAmerican.com. Incredible content coming your way on your radio. For Brian Russ, Sam Bushman, and Eldon Stahl, we declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. BrightyOnRadio.com. Spread the word. Tell the tale. Live and on-demand radio free at your fingertips. I am Sam Bushman, and we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.